Hi, you're listening to Java with Jen with your host, Jenna Lee Samuel. On this show, I bring the simplicity of hearing God's voice into everyday life in a no-nonsense, authentic, and super practical way. With coffee in hand and real life in our faces, let's do this. Everybody, thanks so much for joining me here on another episode at Java with Jen. I have a wonderful, wonderful guest who you are becoming familiar with. Her name is Lori Wood, and she has been on the show twice now and has shared her beautiful journey about how the Lord has walked with her through heart disease and just kind of the scary parts of that, and how the Lord has just walked with her into healing and recovery and turning her journey and her story into hope and all these things. And she's still in her journey. But today we want to talk about the importance of you sharing your story. Now, a lot of times, and I find that when I pull on new podcasters in my podcast program and they're opening their heart up and digging into their soul because they're preparing to share their story with the world, all of these emotions come up of imposter syndrome and insecurity and a minimizing of their own story, feeling like, well, this is just, it's not a big deal. It's not a big thing. But yet when someone on the outside who didn't walk through it listens in, we go, oh, no, this is a big deal. And we can see, like Lori eloquently said earlier, this thread of grace that moves through your life and ties all of your stories together. And so we're going to dive into this. It's maybe a unique topic, but your human brain is wired for stories. Jesus preached using stories because of that. Your children are inspired by stories. Our souls anchor our memories to stories. It's a big part of our humanity. And so we're going to dive into this. So Lori, thanks for coming on here and helping me kind of brainstorm this unique topic.
Oh, I'm happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. So why don't you reintroduce yourself for anybody who didn't catch either of your previous episodes? Why don't you introduce yourself so that they know a little bit about who you are?
Sure. I am an author and speaker. I kind of came into this unexpectedly through a really strange end-stage heart failure diagnosis and kind of switched careers and ended up writing and using a lot of story doing it. So I'm kind of figuring out faith kind of through stories. And it's been really interesting to hear people's reaction, because I've been writing, you know, through that filter of this medical crisis that I've had, but people will get back with me and they'll say, you know, I don't have heart failure. I don't have anything medical going on, but that story that you told about when you were a little girl or when you were a parent and you had toddlers, I could really relate to that. Mm-hmm. And I knew then that was the reason, like you said, that Jesus used stories, is because that's the connection point. That's what we all have in common as human beings, are these little experiences that feel like nothing, that feel so mundane and everyday, but that's how we connect.
Yeah. That's so true. And, you know, I'm sitting here thinking about, because you're right, we all grow up listening to stories, we grow up listening to people's stories, and our brains are so built for it that it's really easy to miss how valuable and important that part of our lives as humanity is. And I'm bringing this to my listeners, not just to provide like, oh, that's a cute idea, but because your story has the power to interrupt and help someone else's story. And everybody who's listening has a story or multiple stories that you've probably already experienced, sharing those things and people being touched, or sharing those things and people being encouraged or challenged or whatever. And so we're going to dive into this. Now, I, being a business owner, of course, I have a fresh perspective on storytelling, because I mean, I just went through this whole workshop with this company that is literally built around the premise of helping businesses craft their story in order to connect with clients, because stories are, like you said, the connect points with people. Now, Jesus, or actually the Word of God, has an interesting point about this. It says in Revelation 12:11 that they overcame by the blood of the Lamb, what Jesus did, and the word of their testimony. And the word of your testimony is the telling of your story, right? And so I think it's so powerful that it connects people overcoming their challenges with A, the grace of God, the blood of the Lamb, but also the sharing of your story. And so when you were starting to write, for example, did you have hurdles, barriers, fears, insecurities come up that made you second guess the importance of sharing your story? Did you deal with buffeting or like discouragement that kind of threatened to potentially to throw you off from actually telling your story?
I did, because I felt like when I started writing, I was still kind of in the middle of it. Mm. And I didn't know how far back to go. I didn't know how much to reveal. And, you know, they say when you're telling your story to write from your scars and not your wounds. Mm. And so I had this timing problem. And I think that's wise, is because sometimes when we're telling our story, we're in the middle of it and we're still hurting and we haven't really made sense of it and gotten perspective on it. You know, I think about when I've had surgery a couple of times on my heart, and right after the surgery, I don't show anybody, you know, the area where I had surgery, because it's still so fresh and it's new, and I don't even like to look at it. Yeah. But if someone asked to see my scar now, I show them, because mm-hmm. I feel like when we have a story, it's kind of like a scar. Some of them are good and some of them are bad, but it shows that we survived,
yeah,
that we triumphed over something, and it gives someone else a little bit of hope.
Yes.
And I didn't realize that at first. I thought, oh, I don't know if this is going to apply to anyone. And it was almost like God was leading me to slow down so that I could form that scar mm-hmm. and have that perspective on it, which was really helpful, I think.
Yeah. Wow. That's so good. And I find that too, like, there's something so vulnerable but powerful about when we decide to step out and share our story. In fact, like, science will even tell you that when people start to share their story, that is an important part of their healing journey. Mm-hmm. I remember meeting a veteran who endured some crazy things at war, but he was sharing very comfortably and very freely about his war stories. And I told him, I was like, I don't meet many veterans that actually share their stories. And I said, why are you so comfortable sharing your stories? And he goes, because I had to heal. And part of healing is sharing your story. And I kind of wonder if that works that way. Because when we share our story, we're opening that messaging up, but we're teaching our brain, like, hey, it's safe now. This isn't mm-hmm. happening now. It happened in the past, but I'm standing in a different place, looking at it differently. And so it allows you to heal, feeling safe, even acknowledging what had previously happened.
Yes, that's so good. It reminded me of, after I wrote my book, I decided to do a companion journal to it. And I wanted other people to kind of make sense of their story through the journal. And so I did a little bit of research about journaling. And I learned that when we can journal about our own feelings and our own story, like you were talking about, and sharing it, when we can get it down on paper or get it out of our heads, that's when we get objective with our story. Yeah. Because while it's still inside of us, it's too close to us. And we don't make sense of it until we can sort of stand back from it. And so just like journaling, when we can tell it, we get more objective with our feelings and what really happened and where God was in the story. And so I think that's a really good point about the healing that comes with stories.
Yeah, that's so. And I feel like it also creates an anchor point, like you had mentioned earlier, for people to kind of, like the scripture said, they overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. I remember there was a moment when I was walking with one of my sons, and he was dating a girl, and he found himself dealing with a lot of like clinginess. And I didn't know what was underneath that clinginess, but that's not necessarily true to who he normally is. And he's kind of an independent, just healthy dude, you know, but he was really clingy in this one situation. And so I shared with him a story about my sister and how she had gone through some painful situations that caused her to develop an unnatural response to when like guys would hit on her or whatever. And it was a very unnatural emotional reaction. She'd get really angry and she would get really whatever. And she realized later that, oh, that's because of these difficult situations I went through, and it makes me feel this way in the middle of that. And so I shared that with my son, obviously giving him all the details. And her story helped his brain connect the dots and identify that maybe his behavior was coming from a pain point in his past. And so he thought about it and was able to recognize, oh, I'm being clingy because a couple years ago, a good friend suddenly ghosted me and it hurt me so bad that now I'm afraid this person is just about to ghost me. You know, so it helped her story, helped his brain connect the dots and heal from a wound that was aggravating his behavior, right? And so that's the power of sharing our stories, because we can, like, a lot of people don't realize this, but your brain is built in such a way that it doesn't know the difference between a story and your imagination and a memory. And I think the power of that is that when other people are sharing their stories from their memories, it can play in your brain almost as though it's your own memory. So then you can learn from it and grow from it. And that's why I think Jesus spoke in parables, because stories anchor more than facts and knowledge. What would you say to that?
Oh, I 100% agree, because I think, you know, like you were talking about stories, and it's so cool. I love it when science catches up with what God said and what
yeah,
God did.
Yeah, me too.
But, you know, science has figured out that when we hear a story that we particularly relate to, that we feel connected to, our brain embodies that almost like a lived experience. And so the part of our brain that's wired for survival lights up when we hear a story that we feel like we can use. And so that should be such encouragement for people to share their story, because if you live through something hard, and sometimes your hard is just mundane, or it's waiting, or it doesn't have to be anything big. But when you live through something hard and you tell that, then someone else has this survival manual in their brain that helps them live through it. And that is just such a gift.
Wow, that's so good. Now, I want to go back to something you said earlier to me before we started recording. And you were, I think you were quoting somebody, but you had mentioned how when we share our stories, or all of our stories have this thread of grace that move through them, connecting them all. And that if we don't share our story, that part of that thread of grace kind of becomes invisible. It becomes where we don't see it. And that's part of why it's important to share our story. So why don't you elaborate on that? Because I'm thinking for my listeners, a lot of people, maybe introverts, shy people, or people who've just grown up with so many things happening, maybe they just, they want to forget their story. You know, they're like, I just don't even want to think about it. I just want to move into tomorrow and forget yesterday. Why is it important that people prioritize and value sharing their story in appropriate ways and appropriate times, of course, but why would that be so important? Talk about the grace thread.
Yes, I can so relate to that thought. When this whole writing thing for me started, it was through a little spiral notebook that someone had brought to my hospital room, and I was writing things that I thought I would never reread. I was kind of angry with God. I was questioning. And I thought, when I get out of here, I'm going to burn this notebook, because I'm going to just get it out of me and then I'm going to throw it away. And for some reason I didn't. And it kind of sat around for a while, and I came back to it, and it became that jumping off point to talk about once it had healed a little bit. Mm-hmm. And that is part of that thread of grace, because we're still part of the story that God's writing. Just because, you know, we can look at scripture and think, well, that's the important part of history, and we're living in kind of the unimportant part of history. But in reality, God's just been writing this huge, beautiful story from the beginning, and we're still part of it. And so we need to find a way to keep telling that story through everything that we're living, because most people are just going to live an ordinary life, like you and I. So they're not looking for somebody extraordinary to tell it. They're looking for an everyday person. Like, how did you do this? Yeah. And that is what is so needed, I think, for God to continue that story, is to not let that thread drop off, to just keep pulling it through your family and the people that you influence, and to keep it going.
That's so good. And, you know, I feel like in the telling of your story, Of course, you experience your story one way because you experience it from inside of it in the most personal way that anyone can experience it, right? You're inside your head, you're inside your heart. But people standing on the outside looking in, they can see things that we don't see because maybe our emotions filtered out certain revelations or our experiences, the lies that attack our thinking blind us to certain ways that the Lord showed up, right? And so I can even think of like a recent situation where someone was sharing about a challenge that they had. And I looked at them and I was like, oh my gosh, look how kind the Lord was in your story. And they were like, what are you talking about? And I was able to point out a number of moments where I was like, look how the Lord provided right there. Look how the Lord protected you there. Look how this person had favor on you. That was the Lord's provision because every good gift is from him. And I was like, look at all this like journey, like a thread weaving through your life. I said, there's all these pivot points where you can see God's fingerprints in your story. And they were like, oh my gosh, I've never seen that before. And so then suddenly, where maybe they felt God was absent in their story, I was able to look at them and say, look how present he was in your story. And they were like, it changed the narrative that they had been carrying, you know? And so it changed things. And so sharing your story allows even that outside voice to speak in, healthy voices, right? There will always be critics, but we want to listen to those healthy voices that can point out the things that we can't even see about our own story.
Yes. Yeah, that is so, you know, one part of my story that was kind of a weird part of my story was I have this heart failure, and heart failure just goes one direction. It's chronic and progressive. And so I kind of knew that at the beginning, but at one point in my story, several years ago, my heart function restored to near normal. Wow. And it happened on the day that I needed my appendix out. That's how they found it, is they were thinking, no one wants to do surgery on her. Her heart's too weak. And they looked at my heart and they're like, it's near normal. And so they took me in and got my appendix out. But for years after I told that story, I said, you know, I thought that was the end of my story. And then I felt like it got taken away because my heart got worse. And, you know, I was telling it that way. And someone that heard my story said, did you ever think about that at that moment, God made your heart normal so that you could get your appendix out? Instead of, oh, they accidentally found it and then it went away. Yeah. And I had never thought of it. As many times as I had told that story, I hadn't seen it. Wow. And we're just so close to what's happening, the details and the agony and all of that and the emotions, that we can't see it sometimes and we can't see God working. But when we tell it and we share it, other people can. Like you said, they have a different perspective.
Wow, that's so powerful. I love that. Now, I love something else that you had mentioned where you said our stories continue. And I remember a couple of years ago when this first became a revelation to me, there was a minister at our church and he was ministering over all these people, like prophesying over them. And there was kind of a theme that day, not everybody, but there was a lot of people where he would deliver a word to them and he would say, I see that this is what's going on in your life. Like maybe he was like, you have a teaching gift, but this teaching gift actually is something that you picked up from your great grandmother. And she's been praying for her grandchildren and her great grandchildren. And they're like crying because he's like right on the money, you know. But there was this theme of how the prayers of people who maybe even weren't even alive anymore were affecting the children and the grandchildren, and the great grandchildren, and how the blessings of those previous generations were carrying on in the family line, how giftings were carrying on, how something that was started and initiated three generations back was being fulfilled now in their grandchildren's life and great grandchild. And so it kind of became an epiphany for me that so often we look at the timeline of our life and the stories of our life, and we think it's start at birth and death. That's when the story starts and stops. But the reality is God is broader than that. He sees family lines. That's why, you know, people in the Old Testament, when they get, I am so-and-so, the son, I serve the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Like he's the God of generations, not just the God of an individual person. He is, but he sees generations. He sees throughout time. And so it brings us to this point, a scripture that you pointed out before we started recording in Hebrews that talks about the fathers of the faith and that sometimes they didn't see the things they were believing for. So their story didn't end like they expected it to end. And Romans 8:28 talks about how, you know, God works all things for our good. And we think that that means that the end of our story, all things will work good. We'll see the happy ending, right? And so why don't you connect those dots and kind of pull out that point you were trying to make with me earlier?
Yes, I love that scripture because I was one of those people that was a beginning and end person. I thought, you know, Romans 8:28 meant that whatever bad happened to you, God will turn it into something good before you die. But yet I knew stories of people where they had prayed for something or wanted something honorable and, you know, God honoring, and it never happened and they died. And so I knew that it had to be something bigger than that. And when I look at that, I know, and you can look at, you know, people in history, especially in scripture, that died, and the story couldn't have made sense to them when they died. You know, you think about John the Baptist in prison, sending a message to Jesus that says, "Are you the one, or should we be expecting someone else?" And then he died.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking that was a hard end to a very faithful life. But it wasn't the end of the story because we're still talking about him and we are still, you know, living part of his story. So all of those stories that we know in our own living where they ended hard, or maybe we have a story that's not ending right, it's not the end because God, like you said, he exists. We like to think that God exists in time. Mm-hmm. But really, time exists in God. Mm. And he's so over and above time, but our little brain sees it so lineal that we think it should happen in this way. And I think once we can step back and look at that and see that God has this huge story and we're living a little chapter of it, and, you know, it'd be like picking up a novel and reading one chapter and saying, okay, I got the narrative. Mm-hmm. And that, we know that's ridiculous, but we do that with our own lives.
Wow. Yeah. That's so good. That's so powerful. So I think a lot of times when people, and this kind of looking big picture at what we've been talking about, everybody wants to have an impact, right? Everybody wants, we have this deep innate need to feel like my life made a difference, my voice made a difference. And I think it's beautiful that part of how God builds that into us and how he's built mankind and our brains to work built on stories is that everyone naturally has stories. God loves to be a part of our story. He loves to be a part of that weaving together of the pieces. And so innately, we all have a voice. Innately, we all have a story to tell. And that story is there because it is meant to help someone overcome something, right? There's in Corinthians, there's a passage that says, "Praise be to God who comforts us in all our trials so that we can comfort those with the comfort that we have received." And so there is a natural instinct to turn to someone who's struggling and say, "Oh, I went through that. Let me share with you my story." I mean, that's the whole reason authors write books. That's the whole reason podcasters write podcasts. That's the whole reason movies are inspired by true stories. And those are the best movies, really.
Yes.
And so what are some ways, because I think for everybody listening to this, they may be like, okay, what's the point? We get that stories are impactful. Here's why. Stories are impactful because it gives you a built-in tool to be an impactful human in your lifetime, impacting the people around you without needing any superpowers. Your story is your superpower, right? Your story is your voice. Your story is how people overcome when you bring Jesus into it by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. You having a testimony gives people a grace to overcome. That is your superpower. And so what are some ways that people can begin to share their story? I feel like we live in the best time ever for building platforms and putting our voice to it. If someone wants to build a platform or they don't, what are some ways people can share their story?
You know, I think one thing I want people to know is that it doesn't have to be something big. You know, when we talk about that thread of grace, we said thread. We didn't say cord. We didn't say, a belt. We just set a thread. It just needs to be something little that pulls it through to the next person. And so, you know, it might be something as simple as writing a card to them and saying, 3 years ago, this happened to me, or something like that. And it doesn't have to be a long card. It could just be a text. Some of the best things that people did for me was just come up to me, you know, after church or in the grocery store and say, my mom had this happen and this happened and then this. And it seemed like nothing. And it was, you know, we're holding our groceries. It was so small. But that was, I would reflect back on that. Mm-hmm. And I'd think, I don't know anyone that's ever had heart failure, but I heard that story mm-hmm. and it gave me hope. And yeah. it was nothing. It didn't take any time. It didn't take cost any money. And then, you know, sometimes it turns into something bigger, like my journal that I never intended to write through. So sometimes if you are a person that likes to process by writing, just, you know, write and see what happens. You yeah. just never know, because when it's happening, I'm so glad I have that journal, because I didn't want to share right then because it was still so fresh. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, if I didn't have it, I wouldn't have those feelings. I wouldn't have that real time point of reference. And now I can read it and go, wow, I see now. So be writing it down, whether that's just with pen and paper or, you know, in a Word document. And then, you know, try to share it with people in your family. My dad, before he passed away, he wrote his entire life story. Mm-hmm. He typed it out, you know, and gave us copies. And it's one of my best possessions now. Mm-hmm. So just making sure that it gets out there, whatever means you have, yeah. whatever you have access to, because God doesn't expect you to do something you can't do. He just wants you to use the tools that he's placed in your hands.
That's so good. I love that. And I think too, like, I'm thinking about conversations people have. And even like, for example, when I was pregnant, and people felt so inclined to tell me all their horror stories. Yeah. Telling your horror stories does not help people overcome, side note. And people would tell me all their horror stories about their birth experiences, but they emphasize the horror and not the victory, you know. And they're like, oh, and then I had my baby, you know. But they're like, but the you know, they had all this like So I would encourage you, as you're sharing your stories, put the emphasis on the victory. Like, and I just think too about how often we're inclined to complain about life and complain about challenges and whatever. But if we would even flip our own narrative and instead look for the opportunities to celebrate what's happening, look for the opportunities to say, it's a great day. I'm so grateful for today. I'm grateful for it. Look what the Lord has done in our life. I mean, you have a situation, and there's always a bright side and there's always a bad side, right? To any situation, any story. And part of healing is being able to look at your story and focus on the narrative in your story that brings healing rather than the narrative that brings harm, right? And so, for example, there is a gentleman who told the story. I'm not going to cry when I tell the story. I promise I'm not going to cry. But he was talking about when he was a little boy and his parents were going through a divorce. And he was in kindergarten or something, pre-K, kindergarten. And as an adult, he was realizing he was dysfunctional and couldn't maintain intimate relationships. Like, his marriage was falling apart. He's like, he was losing his drive for business and just was like, what is wrong with me? He just was numb. And so we went to a therapist. And when he went to this therapist, he's mostly just humoring his wife by going. And the therapist looks at him and she says, I need you to ask God what lies you're believing about him or about yourself. It was one of those. And so he asked the Lord, what lie am I believing that's holding me back, or whatever it was. And the Lord spoke to his heart immediately. And the lie was, I have to do this on my own. And so he realized, like, okay, this is what the Lord told me. And she was like, okay, now I want you to ask the Lord, where does that come from? And so, and he's still sitting there almost scoffing the process. Like he's like, whatever. Okay, I'll fine. I'll say this, you know, he's not buying into it. But anyway, so, and so he goes, where does this come from? And immediately the Lord took him back to the scene when he was a kindergartner and his parents were getting a divorce. And he remembers being in the back seat with his brother and mom and dad are fighting through the window about who's going to pay for their schooling. And mom is angry. She throws the registration papers out the window as she drives off and is like, whatever, you know, just mad. And then he sees her throw these papers. And in his little heart, he thought to himself, well, he yelled first and he was like, stop. And she stopped and he gets out and he's picking up all of his little papers. I cry every time I tell a story. It's so sweet how the Lord showed up. Anyway, so he's picking up these papers. Watch, I've probably told you this story before. I cried with that one too, huh? I probably did. Anyways, and he's picking them up and the Lord shows him this scene, right? And in that moment, he says to himself, well, I guess I have to do this on my own. Like I'm on my own. Yeah. And so the counselor says to him, dude, my listeners are gonna get so tired of hearing me cry on episodes. I cried on the last one too. Anyways, so the counselor looks at him and she says, okay, now ask the Lord, where was he in your story? And so by now he's paying attention and he's like, okay, God is speaking. I better pay attention. And so he goes, Jesus, where were you in my story? And so the Lord took him back to that scene in his mind. He sees it in his imagination and he sees Jesus knelt down, picking up the papers with him. I mean, see how powerful a story is? I'm blubbering. It's not even my own story, right? And yes. So he sees Jesus there. The point that I'm making is the power of the story that you believe, the power of the story that you're telling yourself. And this is why we have to tell our stories, because he had told himself a story from his childhood subconsciously that he's on his own, that he's got to take care of himself. And that caused him as an adult to keep everybody at arm's distance. And he couldn't have intimate relationships because of this core belief in his soul, a story that he had told himself, how he interpreted that situation. So When you introduce Jesus, the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony, the blood of the Lamb matters. When you bring Jesus into the equation, you bring Jesus into your story and you say, Jesus, where were you? Where were you in my story? Maybe it was a hard story. Maybe it was your horror story, right? Jesus, where were you in my horror story? And then suddenly Jesus can go into your memory, because remember, memory and imagination, your brain doesn't know the difference, right? So that's how powerful this is. Jesus can go with you in your memory and create a new imagination and say, this is where I was in your story. And he can show you where he was. So now you have translated a horror story into a story of overcoming, right? And now you have a different story. And the power of it is, someone else's story can make you blubber to death because it's so powerful, right? And so This is why sharing your story matters, but also paying attention to your stories. Your horror stories maybe aren't the final draft. Your horror stories are probably just sitting there waiting for you to ask, Jesus, where were you in my story? And then allowing him to take you back and show you, where was he in that moment? And I've had to do the same thing in myself. And it did. It brought a lot of healing, because it's not only the telling of your story that's powerful, it's the believing of your story. And if you're believing a story that doesn't account for the blood of the Lamb, it doesn't account for the part that Jesus played, your story is incomplete and your story doesn't have the power to overcome. But when you introduce Jesus back into the equation, and then you realize, wow, I have a different story to believe now because I didn't see the whole thing. I was just looking at it through a lens or one chapter of the book, you know, then you can look at it differently. And now you can share with people a story that is not only the word of your testimony, it includes that thread of grace, the blood of the Lamb, so that now they have the power to overcome, right? And yeah. So I hope I explained that well with all my crying.
It's so good. Yeah. And I think one of the things that stood out to me about that story is he could have kept that same story inside, but he had, for it to do anything for him or for maybe the counselor or for anyone else, he had to get it out.
Yeah.
Because if he just had that story within him and kept it for himself and retold it through his own filter of pain, it was doing more harm than good. And so you have to tell it not only for yourself, you have to tell it for other people, and you have to tell it so it can make sense and so you can find the truth in it. Because our pain just blinds us sometimes.
It's so true. And that's what makes, now I want to point back to your journal that you've mentioned a couple of times. Journaling, period. Now you can tell us about your journal, but I know journaling, period, is such a powerful tool of healing and processing your story. So tell us about your journal that you wrote, and how would that help those who are listening that are maybe like, you know, I need to document my story and take it more seriously.
Yes. So my book is called Divine Detour, and the journal is called Navigating Your Own Divine Detour, because the book is just a book of essays that tell stories from my life and give people permission to ask God questions. And then the journal is where I took prompts and quotes from the book and said, okay, now look at your life. How does this look in your life? What happened in your life, or what has caused you to feel this way, or what has caused you to ignore God in this situation? And so it takes my story and then makes a turn so that it's more personal for the reader. And I love that, because as I was doing the book, I felt it needed a place for people to process, but at the same time, it really wasn't a Devo book. And so I thought, how is this going to happen? And then when it came out as a separate book, I was like, oh, that's perfect. Because, you know, some of us process by, I process by writing, so I'd have to write it down. But that was something that I think a lot of people were missing. And that's one way to get it out. And, you know, sometimes when I would write something in my journal or in the book, like you said, you have to share it with someone. And I would share it with my husband or someone who had been through it. And they would call me on it and say, you know, that's not quite right. And we need that. We need that accountability.
We do. We totally do. I love it. So for those of you who are listening, let's say that this episode has touched your heart and you're like, you know what? I know I have a story and I need to start to put voice to it. Getting her journal is a great way to start, because not only will you have a space to journal and write down your story, but it sounds like you're going to have some prompts that will really help you maybe unfold what your story is and how to begin to share it. And we all have a collection of stories, right? We've got those stories that are of overcoming. We've got those stories we're in the middle of. And then we've got those stories that are our horror stories that we're still looking for Jesus in those memories, right? And a lot of times that takes some intentionality to go back and make space to ask the Lord where he was in those moments. But all of them are worthy of being told. And all of them have the power, especially once you see where Jesus was in that story, all of them have the power to release a grace to people to overcome in their own situations. And that is your superpower. Your story is your superpower. And so I want to encourage you guys to go check out not only her journal, but her book, Divine Detours. Where can people find your book and journal?
They're both on Amazon. There's also a books page on my website, lorianwood.com/books, and people can read the first chapter free if they'd like, or there's also a book trailer if they want to learn more about it.
Oh, that's amazing. I love it. I love it. Well, you guys go check that out. And for those of you who are listening, who maybe you're chomping at the bit, you're like, yes, I know I have a story. I've just been waiting. I'm ready to share my story. I want to do something with it. If you would be interested in starting a podcast to share your story, then I want to talk to you, because I actually coach podcasters and I have another round of new podcasters starting April 11th. And we do it 3 times a year. And so I have another round in September. But if you are interested in starting a podcast, and maybe the idea is scary, but you know you need to get your story out, I feel like podcasting is one of the lesser intimidating platforms for getting your story out, which is why I chose it, if I'm honest. And so if you want to connect with me, I've got a link in the show notes as well as a discount. For those of you who are listeners or on my email list, who are friends of mine, you automatically are entitled to a discount to my program just because I love my people. And so that's in the show notes. You can book a call with me if you'd like to talk about my program. But otherwise, I would say you guys run over and get her book, get her journal, start working through how to put words to your story, because you just have no idea. There are lives that are possibly waiting to hear your story because they need your testimony of overcoming to help them through their story that they are in the middle of. So thank you guys so much for listening. Lori, thanks for coming on this show and helping me pull together this really unique but fun episode.
Oh, thanks, Jen. It's been great.
Absolutely. Well, you guys, thanks so much for following along. Also, I want to point out, if any of you guys have been Apple Podcast listeners, Spotify actually deleted my podcast last week, and I had to go through a lot of work to get it back up. Apple has given me grief. It's possible that you were unsubscribed from my show in the process. So just double check wherever you listen to your podcasts. If you've come across mine, make sure you're subscribed, because if you got bumped off, I don't want you to miss any future episodes. But otherwise, y'all, thanks for being here. Send this episode to somebody that you know, especially someone who you believe in their story, and you want to encourage them to start putting voice to it as well. So thanks, you guys, for coming by. We will see you next week.
Thanks so much for tuning in to today's show. Listen, let's stay connected. Come follow me on Instagram at Java with Jen, where you can follow the latest and say hey. It's a really great way to stay in touch. Many of you have also asked how you can support the show. You can make donations through the Anchor app or on Patreon, or of course, by sharing, rating, and reviewing on social media and iTunes as well. Your heartfelt feedback always reminds me why I do this. Also, don't miss our merch store, where you can get super cool Java with Jen swag and coffee. Find it at javawithjenmerch.com. Until next time, remember, hearing God's voice is simple, and He wants to be a part of your everyday life. See you next week.